Shalom Aleichem on behalf of Teach 613, we welcome you to Take 10 Fit Talmud. Baba Metzia Daf Yud Gimel, Baba Metzia 13a, pagination is 25. We'll start on the facing page, Masnisin, the Mishnah, towards the bottom of the page. Matzah Shtarechov, if a person found documents of financial obligation, Im Yesh Bohem Achrayas Nechosim, if the statement of this transaction is such that it would be collectible as a lien, lo yachzir, you shouldn't return it to either party. Shebez de nifraya mehem, because beyond the two parties, there are other affected people. Let's clarify the case. If it says in the document that Reuven is lending money to Shimon, Shimon is borrowing, and if Shimon doesn't pay back, then the property that he sells, the real estate property that he sells in the interim, would be collectible by Reuven to pay up the loan, meaning the property has a lien on it. Then, even if Reuven and Shimon agree that the document should go to Reuven so that he could still collect, we will not do that. We won't return it to him, because now that the document has been found, possibly discarded, we start worrying about it and thinking maybe it was paid up, and the two of them are in cahoots to force another collection based on the witnesses that are in the document. And really, those buyers have no liability because the debt was actually paid up already. And therefore, if there is achrayus, meaning a lien, in the document, we will not return it to them. Ein bohem achrayus nuchasim, if this particular document, let's say a loan, does not identify any sort of lien liability, yachzir, the first opinion is, you return it. She'im bezdin nifrayim mehem, because there's no collection going to be done to an unaffected party, and therefore if Reuven and Shimon are both in agreement, who gets the document? We can listen to them, divrei Rabbi Meir, that's the ruling of Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omrim, the chachamim however say, ben kach u ben kach, whether it says lien in the document or not, lo yachzir, even if they both agree, you cannot return it to them. Because there still will be the possibility of collection. Because, as the Gemara says on Daf Yudalid, Rabbanan Savri Achrayis Ta'o Sofer Hu, the Rabbanan hold that every document works as a lien, because it's a mistake of the scribe for not having put it in. If, however, it specifically says in the document that it's a document without achrayus, that was the agreement between Reuven and Shimon, that there's no lien, it shouldn't affect his other property, then indeed it can be returned if they both agree. That's how we find it in Shulchan Aruch, Choshen Mishpat, Samech Hei Se'if Vav, that we paskin like the Rabbanon, even if it doesn't say Achrayus in the document, Lo Yachzir, don't return it. Chayshinan Lepiron Lekununya, we're worried it was paid up, and there's a trick going on here, and even though normally with documents we have no such fear, but over here, since it was found, it might very well have been discarded, and that's why it was found unattended. And therefore we worry about this document. If mefurosh bishtar behedya she'en achayev v'achrayis, if it clearly states no achrayis, no lien, then imchayev moda, if the borrower admits that it's still supposed to be in the hands of the lender to collect, yachzir, then you can return it. The Gemara over here discusses a concern. It's about 8 lines from the bottom. Shema kosav lilvos benissen. a concern that the document was written up to be used Nisan time, for argument's sake, April, v'lo lava at Tishrei, and the actual loan did not occur until Tishrei, let's say September time, for argument's sake. V'asi l'mitref l'kucha shelo kedin, and there's an interesting concern that we are going to take from the buyers without real permission to do so. Meaning, Reuven lent this money to Shimon in September, but the document, if it would be drawn up in April, is going to give the impression that the legal commitment and the loan were done in April. Anybody who bought property from Shimon who owes the money, anybody who bought property from Shimon in July, for example, would in reality not be liable for this loan because it wasn't done till September, but according to this document, the impression would be that he is liable for this loan. And therefore we have this concern, Ose lemitref lekuchos shelo kedin, that they're going to rip from the buyer the property without really having permission to do so, because they're not really liable, because the loan was never given until September. Amar Ravasi, Ravasi says, and this is a very important consideration that we want to focus on, Bishtore hakna'a tahashabid nafshe. It is possible to obligate oneself with a kinyan, with the signing of the document, with the giving of the document, even if the money did not actually change hands. And this is a fascinating consideration. Even though the event did not occur, perhaps I can obligate myself, even in advance of the actual occurrence, in which case there would be nothing wrong with collecting based on this document from April, because indeed that's when the kinyan was made and that's when the liability took effect. The person who bought something from him, real estate, between April and September, is indeed liable because that obligation was indeed in place, and it's not just a mistaken clerical document error. It really was a kinyan, and he's liable. This statement introducing the concept of kinyan, even if the event did not occur, sparks a fascinating discussion regarding the writing of a ksuba at a Jewish marriage, particularly the time when the ksuba is written and signed. There's a concern that if the ksuba is written during daylight hours and the chuppah doesn't occur until the nighttime, then according to the ksuba, the obligation is from the daytime, and that's a mistake. And that could result, if the husband dies before the wife and the ksuba is collectible, or if the husband divorces the wife, that could result in a collection from people who bought property from him even from the day when the ksuba was written, even though the true liability is not until the next day, because night is the beginning of the next halachic day, and the true liability is not until the chuppah occurred. So we have a document that's puzzle, that's invalid. It's got the wrong date in it as far as liability goes. Let's be specific. If a couple gets married on a Sunday night and the ksuba is being written while it's still Sunday afternoon, depending on the exact time of sunset, for example, or nightfall, the ksuba is being written as if the liability is from Sunday, and anybody who buys property from him on Sunday would be cause for concern in terms of a lien towards this obligation that he's making to his wife, when in reality, that liability doesn't occur until Monday, because the chuppah occurring at night is what creates the true obligation. A suggestion is made to invoke this rule introduced on the first line of our daf. Make it a shtar hakna'a. Make it with a kinyan. On Sunday afternoon, let him obligate himself towards his wife with this liability, with a lien, and therefore, even if the event did not actually occur, similar to the loan not happening until September, even if the event doesn't occur, meaning the chuppah in this case, until Monday, it should still be a perfectly good shtar because the obligation, artificially so, by making a kinyan, was created on Sunday. Such a suggestion is indeed made, and if so, we would not have any concern regarding the time of the chuppah being either before sunset or after nightfall. There would be no concern. You just make the kinyan at the time that the ksuba is written, sign it at that time, and you're all good, because it's a shtar hakna type of thing. It was done with a kinyan. There are two prominent objections made to this solution. One by Reb Moshe. Reb Moshe proves in Evan Ezer Dalid Simen Kuf in the fifth section that a kinyan only works by ksuba topics if it's in conjunction with being married. If you make a kinyan on a obligation that's marriage-oriented and they have not done the kiddushin yet, then that kinyan is not going to allow such a document to be dated before the time of the chuppah. Obligations such as these exist in financial matters, but if you're doing an obligation based on marriage and at this point they're totally not married, then such a kinyan is not going to fix our problem regarding the date of the ksuba. Another objection by Reb Shlomo Zalman Auerbach is that the date of the ksuba is considered the date of the marriage, and therefore, to go ahead and date a ksuba incorrectly, implying that they were married, is something that we cannot do. Again, when it came to financial matters, liabilities, money, transferring hands, so then there's a concept of shtar hakna'a. But when it comes to this type of financial obligation, which is so intrinsically linked to the marriage itself and has implications, etc., regarding the marriage, then such a dating solution should not be done. Yashar Koach, thank you for joining.